the many changes we've had with COVID-19, some have been positive. One of these is actually the expansion of roles for advanced practice providers. I'm Dr. Tom Villanueva, and on this episode of Modern Practice, we'll look at the expanded waivers and their impact at increasing scope of practice. My two guests joined us a few weeks ago. They are Kristen Hunt and Dr. Susie Sanborn. Kristen, can you refresh us about what your background is and your current role here at Vizient?
Thanks, Tom. I'm happy to be here back on the show with you today. My name is Kristen Hunt. I am the director of the Center for Advancing Provider Practice CAP2 program at Vizient. We focus on optimizing the clinical care team and making sure that everyone's being utilized to top of license. I am also a practicing nurse practitioner. My initial focus was really to focus on advanced practice providers, but as we've evolved, we're really focusing on the entire clinical team now. So thank you for having me back.
Couldn't agree with you more. Thanks for coming. And Susie, can you tell us about your background and your current role here at Vizient as well?
It's great to be here and talk to all the members again. I'm an anesthesiologist and have practiced in many different settings, both academic, non-academic, small, big, in between, and worked for the Joint Commission for a little while, and now I'm here at Vizient in the accreditation team.
Thanks for coming, Susie, and appreciate your time. Kristen, let's start with you. Now, due to the crisis, policies have expanded the scope of practice for our APPs. But recently, there have been some changes, particularly last week, to this expansion. Can you tell us what they are?
This is an ongoing moving target for sure. When COVID started and we initially started looking at our workforce, we were very afraid that we weren't going to have enough providers to care for our surge of patients.
Right.
And so that's when we really started looking in at what is scope of practice and making sure that people are working to top of license. So initially, the federal government called to all the state governors and was really pleading with them to really look at their scope of practice for not only advanced practice providers, but their entire care team and looking to see if there's opportunities to really expand that workforce. So many states actually did jump on board. And one of the major barriers when it comes to advanced practice providers is really looking at that collaborative agreement and prescriptive authority. So many states did address that early on. But now what we're seeing is there's continued need. There's continued things that are changing every day that we're trying to keep up with. So one of the most recent changes that CMS put through was really looking at the skilled nursing facilities. So one of the barriers to physician assistants specifically is they weren't allowed to do the comprehensive visit. It was requiring a physician to come in and do that comprehensive initial visit. And they've waived that. And they're allowing now PAs to really work to top of license. Another specific change that recently occurred is the critical access hospitals. Initially, we required a physician to be physically on campus at those critical access hospitals, and they are waiving that requirement as long as the physician is available via telephone or telemedicine, and allowing the nurse practitioners and physician assistants to really work to their full extent.
So I get that. So for our SNFs, it's actually allowing PAs to perform comprehensive visits and not actually require physicians to come in for every other visits, in addition to what you've mentioned to the critical care hospitals where now APPs are actually now allowed to wear full scope without having to actually have a physician in-house. That's actually fantastic. It's about time.
Absolutely. And this is something that we really need to look at in multiple different areas as well, not just the skilled nursing facilities and the critical access. We need to look all across the health system. We want to make sure that we are optimizing all of our advanced practice providers and utilizing everyone's skills to the top of their ability.
And Susie, I understand there's some changes going on with locum tenens.
That's very true, Tom. What CMS did just a few days ago is modified their 60-day limit. So it used to be that when you were off your site practicing somewhere else and you needed a locum tenens to help you out, there was a 60-day limit. And in order for you to provide care wherever you need to be during this public health emergency, what CMS has done is extended that time to the time of this public health emergency plus 60 days. So now you don't have to return to your practice until that time.
Well, that's definitely good as well. What action should our members take to expand their scope of practice, Kristen?
Well, there's lots of things that I recommend organizations to do. And so I would really first start with looking at each specific change that has occurred across the nation, looking and learning from your fellow states and organizations and seeing how they are being able to expand scope of practice. Mm-hmm. There's a couple things that we need to be thinking about here. You know, initially, we were really concerned more about that surge. Now we need to start thinking about post-COVID recovery plan. And we also need to be thinking about the next surge. We know another wave's coming, and we know that our organizations have taken a significant financial hit. We know that our workforce is not been optimized and that we've got multiple areas of waste, and we can improve. We can do better. And so I really challenge all of the organizations. I challenge you to really take an internal look at your organization and see how you're utilizing your advanced practice providers, your pharmacy, your nursing staff, all of your clinical staff, and make sure that you're eliminating those waste, finding areas to elevate scope of practice, making sure that we are tasking our physicians with truly physician level work, and elevating everyone in the care team to make sure that we are ready to prepare financially. We're ready to attack the next surge that's coming down the pike.
I see that. Actually, we should take advantage, since actually the great bulk of organizations are not experiencing a surge in our country. And this is what better time now to actually rethink how we're using our workforce and be actually have a break, if you will, to actually step back and think things through. And Susie, I also believe that there's some changes in reference to MIPS reporting and even with telehealth with some of these new waivers.
Absolutely, Tom. The new MIPS directive that CMS came out with was just amazing. So what they've done, as we all know, we're all required to report some sort of performance improvements tasks. And what they've done now, in order to encourage us to participate in clinical trials, now you can use that participation as part of your reporting forum. They haven't come out with the details yet, but there are many different trials coming up. As long as the trial is a multi-institutional or federal trial, you can use it as one of your MIPS indicators.
So that's actually great news, considering that 90% of our members are actually AMCs. Exactly. So that's a great opportunity for our AMCs.
Exactly. Now, telehealth, I was reading through the waivers again, and what's interesting about telehealth is some people are practicing telehealth from home. Right. And what CMS has done is you do not have to change your address to your home address. You can continue to use your practice location even though you're at home doing telehealth. And it doesn't matter whether you're a physician or a nurse practitioner or any other type of advanced practitioner. The rule is the same for everybody. So that really helps with all the paperwork that you would think you would have to do, because you always have to change your practice location, but not now.
I appreciate that opportunity to make things just a little easier for us all. Kristen, going back to you in reference to this expansion of scope of practice, and I think the main question coming to many of our members, and actually everyone around the country, is how long are these changes going to be in effect?
Well, again, that's another moving target we have there. You've got to look specifically at each of the changes that come out. Some of them have an expiration date. Some have actually been permanent changes moving forward. So again, you spoke about a lot of organizations really having a lag time. They've got some downtime. Now is the time to really look at those changes that are occurring, looking to other states to see what changes have occurred, and lobbying now for permanent change. We know the capabilities of our clinical staff. We need to expand the scope of practice. We've got to, today is a new day. This is going to be more of a new norm for us, especially when we're looking at telemedicine, remote monitoring, all of these things that we were initially planning on. We spent months and months and months trying to plan, how are we going to execute this? And we were able to do it in a couple of weeks. And so knowing that, we need to focus and continue to propel and grow. And so making sure that we have the bylaws in place that we need, making sure that we have the state scope of practice that we need, and continuing to lobby at the federal level as well. So I would definitely recommend, you know, taking this time and making sure that these are all permanent changes and not having that expiration.
It's a great time to be mindful for the majority of our members. So Susie, wow, CMS expanded waivers affecting not only the acute care setting, but also long-term facilities. It was pretty lengthy. Which one of these come to top of mind for you?
kind of a summary that I think all of you can take home is the flexibility of beds. So it doesn't matter whether it's a SNF, other long-term care facility, or a psychiatric hospital. Basically, wherever you need to bed the patient, you can classify them in those different categories. So a lot of our bigger places have many different types of care facilities. Right. And so basically, if you want to cohort a certain set of your patients at the psych hospital, because that's the only place you have room for them, that's okay, even if they don't have a psych diagnosis. And vice versa, if you have a psychiatric patient that needs hospital care, it's okay to put that patient into the hospital as long as you make sure that the psychiatric needs of the patient are being met.
And if I understand it right, the same thing holds true for many of our organizations that are struggling to find a SNF bed.
Absolutely. You're exactly right, Tom. So what's going on now is if you can't place your patient in a SNF, you can keep your patient and bill for the SNF.
You want to talk about a utopic state for many of our members.
Exactly.
So I understand also there may be something mentioned in reference to discharge summaries.
The mantra of CMS is to help us take care of these patients as efficiently as possible.
Right.
So what they did is they waived all of the fluff paperwork, so all the data and all those types of things. So the minimum requirement right now is that you send your patient out of your hospital with information about medications and plan of care. The minimum, so that when you're transferring the care of that patient, the next facility will have all the information that they need.
All right. And what if these waivers contradict your facility's bylaws?
Well, the good thing is you can use your emergency operations plan to fix your policies, but then that would just be a temporary fix. And as we know, these are waivers. So these are for the time of the public health emergency. They're not permanent changes. So you'll have to keep track of what the states are doing. And when they start retracting their public health emergency declarations, then a lot of these waivers go away.
All right. And from what I understand, these waivers are already in effect now.
Correct.
These waivers will probably go away. We just don't know when.
Correct. We don't.
Okay. Do you know how they're going to do it? Is it going to be a hard stop, or do we can expect this to be phased out, if you will?
There are two different types of waivers. One is what's called a blanket waiver. So what they did is they made a very long document, and that's what a lot of what we were talking about. Those are null and void when the public health emergency is retracted by the state. Now, some hospitals have applied for specific waivers through CMS, and those will have specific conditions. And so you will know that based on the paperwork that you get back from CMS. The waiver is very specific to what you were asking for that wasn't covered under the blanket waivers.
Are there any landmines we should be prepared for here?
Well, Tom, I think the hardest landmine is ending of public health emergencies and getting out of our emergency operation plans.
Right.
So what are you going to do? You have to keep your finger on the pulse and keep watching and seeing what the states are doing as we're moving back and forth between surges and no surges.
Thank you both for joining us today. And I think the take-home message here is that since a good portion of our members are not going through a surge, this is a great time to leverage the time to look at your workforce and reestablish the new norms. Thank you both for great information. And to our listeners, please join us for other Modern Practice podcasts on the Vizient Medical Leadership Channel. Subscribe today, like us, or send us your comments. Also, please listen and subscribe to SG2 Perspectives, the podcast where my colleagues help busy executives get smart on the latest healthcare strategies. I'm Dr. Tom Villanueva. Thanks for listening.